I'd like to welcome you to one of the last podcasts of 2020 from our Global Health Perspectives podcast. My name is Derek Yach, and I'm the president of the Foundation for a Smoke-Free World. We've been talking to a wide range of people during 2020 on many of the issues that seem to be at the nexus of smoking, tobacco use, and the pandemic. And today, it's a real wonderful pleasure to have Bengt Wiberg, all the way from Sweden. And he will be talking about a lot of his work, obviously involving harm reduction. But before we get going on that, Bengt, I understand yesterday was the Festival of St. Lucia, and hope that you had a good festival, coming tragically at a time that we see a second wave really taking off across Sweden. Hope that you and your family are safe and taking care. I'd love you maybe just to start off by talking about your own use of tobacco products and how you started looking at the value of harm reduction.
Well, my background is I'm a 63-year-old economist, a former CFO of companies in and organizations in Sweden and Middle East, even Italy. Some years ago, I came up with an innovation, and I resigned from my employment as the CFO of the local municipality, and I started my own company, Stingfree AB. Like most snus-using Swedes, I'm a former smoker. I have enjoyed nicotine in safer forms for several decades now. It was a difficult transition in the beginning, since snus is relatively strong and it stings your gum, but I persisted, and I use modified original pouch snus and occasionally tobacco-free nicotine pouches, and if I really want to party, I even use an occasional vaping device, but I'm happy to say that I'm smoke-free.
Is that sensation what we call gator lip?
Sorry?
Gator lip, the burning sensation.
Yeah, it's very familiar for all brands of snus and all nicotine, tobacco-free nicotine pouches, and even moist snuff from the US and particularly Indian local smokeless tobacco. It's a drawback. It prevents people from moving down the risk continuum from smoking to less harmful smokeless nicotine products.
Yeah, so before we get into that, I think you know that we interviewed Carl Fagerstrom some time ago. And of course, he and Lars Ramstrom and many others really have played a strong role in building the epidemiological base to show that the snus user has a substantially lower risk of cancer and many other health problems in Sweden. I just wonder how you actually feel about the fact that we have a ban on snus across the European Commission, with the exception of Sweden, and that must be hampering a lot of potential to save lives.
No, I mean, the ban on snus in the European Union is to use the words of Konstantinos Pharsalinos, a doctor from Greece. He said it's more or less a disgrace, because snus has been approved by the FDA as a less harmful alternative to cigarettes, and the EU snus ban is I mean, looking at Sweden, we have what internationally called the Swedish experience, which means that Swedish men in particular have the lowest smoking prevalence in all of the European Union, and we have the lowest tobacco mortality, as well as the lowest figures of any form of smoking-related cancer, such as oral cancer, lung cancer, cardiovascular diseases, and you name it. So it's really shameful. And considering that the European Union has about 100 million daily smokers, it's shameful that they are not allowed a safer Nordic alternative to smoking.
Well, let's move to your own innovations, the sting-free technology. And it'd be good for people to just understand what actually is it, what got you to develop it, and how have you actually start seeing the sting-free technology play out?
As I mentioned, I love snus. But some years ago, my dentist noticed some gum irritation and other oral problems due to my snus use, and he wanted me to stop using snus, and I simply couldn't revert back to smoking. That was not an alternative. So my brain started working, and I had to come up with some idea. Not only was my gums hurt, but it was also stinging so much that I couldn't even place the snus under my upper lip. So I came up with this idea. I was working as a CFO at the local municipality in Lidingö outside Stockholm, and I went out to the first aid kit, and I found a Band-Aid, and I placed a Band-Aid on one side of the snus pouch. Snus portion is like a little tea bag that you place under your upper lip. And I placed the patched side towards my sore gums, and the pain disappeared immediately. It was not there. I still felt the flavors and the nicotine release, so I was very happy. My innovation, sting-free snus technology, came about for the sole reason that I didn't want to revert to smoking. I really enjoyed snus, and I wanted to continue to enjoy a safer form of nicotine.
And what was the actual development? So I imagine there was a lot of technology and IP to develop a biofilm of some sort?
Yes, it started with a simple patch or a Band-Aid. I don't know what you call it in the United States. But it has evolved during the years. I almost gave away this innovation for free to a big snus company because I simply didn't want to patch my snus. I wanted to buy it in the shops. And then I realized I made a big survey among 650 Swedish snus users. About 230 were women and the rest were men. And I found out that 40% of them actually disliked the stinging sensation. No matter when it stings, they disliked it. So I discovered I was not the only one in the world having some problems with smokeless tobacco. So I decided not to give it away. Instead, I contacted the startup Stockholm and got an innovation grant for continuing this. And as of this year, in September 2020, I have received a US patent approval, as well as an intention to grant a European patent. And this means covering two continents of 1 billion people, whereof about 160 million are daily smokers.
That's amazing.
So from the patch, it has evolved to, at first it was a surgical tape, two layers. It worked just as well. And now it's a biofilm, which is 100% made from renewable materials, incorporated in the pouch on one side, the side that you place against your gum, in the manufacturing process. So we hope this can really help people moving down the risk continuum from smoking to less harmful products. And besides doing the survey among present snus users in Sweden, I have also done empirical tests with hundreds of people from maybe 50 nations. And when presenting a snus or a tobacco-free modern oral nicotine pouch to a smoker or a vapor, for that is, 9 out of 10 have said, sorry, thanks, but no thanks. It stings. Oh, by the way, Derek, have you ever tried snus or nicotine pouch?
I have tried nicotine pouch. My good friend Sud had me trying it. And yes, it does sting.
And what did you think about the stinging?
Yeah, no, I thought it was, I don't smoke, so I wouldn't use it, but I think it would be a big turnoff for people.
Yeah, it's a big threshold, actually.
So when you think of the international implications, of course, there are a billion, you know, a lot of people in the US and the European market. But of course, the big win would probably be in India, where if the current users of a very toxic smokeless were able to switch, that would save a lot of lives on oral cancer. And so one of the questions, which it may be a bit early to ask you, is, of course, you hold the patent. And would you find ways to share that with local developers in India to make it affordable and accessible?
No, the word accessible is very important in countries like India, Far East and the Middle East, because, you know, the local products, they seem to have a lack of standards. Swedish snus have very low nitrosamines, it's pasteurized, it's considered a food product in Sweden. And of course, in nations like India, this would mean a great difference if the technology was introduced there. But affordability is the main word. And I also think that it has to be produced locally, because, you know, to bring about change, you really need to bring it about from the country where you are located. So look at India. They have great tobacco farming. They have labor. They even produce snus packaging machines. So all they need is actually, you know, the technology behind it. And I have more or less several times a month I have contacts in India, and one of the contacts has actually started producing snus according to Swedish snus standards, and hoping to convey some of the 90 million smokers in India to a far less harmful product. And as well as, I think there's about 215 million smokeless tobacco users in India using smokeless tobacco with betel nuts and other things that has made India having the highest oral cancer prevalence in the world, as far as I understand.
Yeah, and tragically, that's been the case for almost 100 years. We've known that. Bengt, let me just turn for one last set of questions. I can't resist going back to the links between COVID-19 and the use of snus. And I understand that there's some very interesting research underway in Sweden, which often may go counter to our beliefs, showing what happens to snus users in terms of their COVID complications. Can you comment at all on how this early research is going?
Yes, I can, actually. It's true. It was announced in May of this year from the Center of Epidemiology and Social Medicine in Stockholm that they were going to investigate the role of... they were going to investigate background factors of COVID-19 infected persons. And this is where Sweden... The kingdom of snus is very important, because they are using databases from dental records from one of the major dental organizations in Sweden. They are registering if you are a snus user, if you are a smoker, if you are a non-nicotine users, they register this separately. I don't think any other country is... they simply ask you, do you use tobacco or do you use nicotine? And they say yes or no. But in Sweden, we can differentiate between snus, smoking, and non-use. So... I think the first report is already finished, and in January we will know the results. And the implications for the whole world could be that if they would find that nicotine in itself is reducing the risk of being COVID-19 infected, then at least we know... We all know that smoking is deadly. It's the most harmful thing you can do. But if nicotine would turn out to be a key that reduces the risk of catching COVID-19, there are many alternatives to smoking, like snus, e-cigarettes, nicotine gums, nicotine patches. You name it. But on the other hand, I wouldn't like to promote anyone becoming a nicotine user, but at least there is differences in the way you consume nicotine.
And I think that's going to be a very important insight we'll all be watching. And we know that in France, there are a number of clinical trials using the nicotine patch to look at severity in the ICUs. And as you said, that in no way undermines the message that smoking is deadly and kills, but it gives us a greater insight into what nicotine may be doing separate from the stuff that kills you. Bengt, I'm going to end at this point and thank you enormously. And I hope that people will contact us at podcast@smokefreeworld.org for further information. And please remember that even though we are reading a lot about the vaccine coming, and indeed it is, we have to keep using our masks, we have to keep hand washing, keep our physical distance, and please make sure you've had your flu vaccine so that we can actually be healthy and strong for when the vaccine actually does come, hopefully early in the part of 2021. And stay safe, and Bengt, again to you and your family. Our best regards for a happy and healthy holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Derek.